It's the first ever NBA in-season tournament. All 30 teams going for one brand new trophy.
The stakes are the highest.
Only 8 teams advance from the group stages. Then it's down to single elimination.
It's win or go home.
The last 4 standing will battle it out in Las Vegas, baby. They're going to go all in on the hardwood for season-long bragging rights and the first ever NBA Cup. Hope everyone's feeling lucky. The NBA in-season tournament begins November 3rd on ABC, ESPN, and TNT.
This is The Rich Eisen Show
with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
The kick is no good!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Negative Nelly Andrew shows up sometimes.
We all have it. You know? It was gallows humor. I said, when Tommy DeVito, Syracuse legend, comes in, imagine the headline if Tommy DeVito beats them.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Texas Rangers outfielder Evan Carter, NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Sando. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
And I'm going to say the same thing that I said exactly 2 hours ago when we opened up this Friday program. We opened up here a Week 9 Friday after the Steelers hung on last night, because of course they did, the most Steeler game ever, and beat the Tennessee Titans. I'll repeat it again to Chris Brockman, to Jason, and to TJ. I am Mr. Positivity. This is a positive Friday. What? I am all about positivity.
Yeah.
A positive flow of energy.
Is this a new thing? Or?
Let's do it. Is this a new thing?
Stop it, TJ. Don't feed into that narrative. That is a negative narrative, and it isn't necessarily accurate. Like any football fan, I can watch my game, like you watching a Patriots game these days, or you watching the occasional Cowboy game where they get, you know, blown out, say, in San Francisco on a Sunday night, and be negative.
Happened? Yeah.
I forgot about that, Lord.
Yeah. I am a positive person. I know that Syracuse is going to beat BC tonight.
Oh, you do?
I just learned that they were playing an hour ago. And I know we're going to get a great game coming up on Sunday. Tomorrow is NFL Network's 20th anniversary. What an amazing ride it has been, and what a way to celebrate that 20th anniversary than by giving you, the football fan, the game of the week, the game of the year. I would argue, with a couple of 6-2 teams atop the AFC, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the first game ever in Frankfurt with Jason McCourty and Dan Orlovsky and the host of this show, Calling the Action, in the booth, joining us live, to whom we say Guten Tag. Hello, sir. Rich Eisen.
Hello, guys. Ooh. Yes, and I appreciate your positivity. You're never negative, ever. I agree with that. Although I do remember... I do remember after last year's Munich game, watching somebody on the Red Zone channel every single time the Browns did something poorly make some sort of a comment like, oh, Deshaun Watson throws it short again. Let's see what else is going on. And I wonder who that host was. It's the current host of the Rich Eisen Show in the chair, Andrew Siciliano.
A host who is quite happy to be here.
Never. Of course you are.
Quite happy to be here.
Hey, and I'm thrilled to be, yes.
As we go down a memory lane for a 7-10 Browns season a year ago.
Indeed, yes, indeed, sir. Yeah, very good. So I'm happy to be here in Frankfurt. I just came back from the Chiefs facility.
All right.
Which is located in downtown Frankfurt. And I took a photograph of the media throng that was allowed in to record 5 minutes of the Chiefs practice. 5 minutes. They filed in like the Benny Hill show, running in into their spots. And then I snapped this photograph, and they then filed out after they were truly. And when I say 5 minutes, I truly mean 300 seconds is what they were allowed to record and take photographs of the Chiefs practice. And the only thing I could say is Peter King was standing there. He goes, this is double the media in Munich, correct? And I'm like, it is. And I turn to Dan Orlovsky and I'm like, take a guess why. And Orlovsky goes, Super Bowl champs. And I'm like, nope. And he says, Patrick Mahomes. And I'm like, nope, but together, maybe. And then he goes, Taylor Swift. And I'm like, you betcha.
Bingo.
You betcha. There's no question in my mind. There was a whole bunch of international media there to take photographs and shots of number 87, the most famous boyfriend on planet Earth right now. And as a matter of fact, when they all left the field and went past us and we said hello to everyone, because we Zoomed with them yesterday, To Travis Kelce at the end of his press conference was asked about his relationship with Taylor Swift. And you know what? I love it. It is fantastic. It is a great gathering of international media here to watch a big game. And the Chiefs, I think, just finished with their media availability about a half an hour ago. They arrived at 9:30 in the morning, Germany time. They're going to go stay up as late as they can and just power through and get on the time zone for Sunday's game. Miami, however, has been here since Tuesday morning. They beat the Patriots Sunday. Then the next day, all gathered at their facility and hopped on a plane and got here. We met, as I told you on yesterday's show, met with Tyreek Hill and Tua and Jalen Ramsey and Raheem Mostert. And today we went back to the facility just to meet with Mike McDaniel. And I got to tell you guys, there is a new all-star on the front of head coaches in broadcast production meetings. And it is Mike McDaniel. Ooh. Who he was, we got the whole thing, guys. We got it all with him just cracking wise the first minute that he sat down. And at one point, he did drop when he was asked about what's going to happen with Teron Armstead, their injured left tackle coming back. He did use the phrase, "I don't have a crystal ball," and shot a look at me, which was fantastic.
Well done.
In reference to the coaching cliches I furnished him with upon his hiring a couple of Februarys ago, and then him dropping all of those cliches in one press conference at the Combine. And another moment, which was really funny, when he was talking about Steve Spagnuolo and the defense that he brings to the equation and how great it is and what they plan to do potentially to beat him. He's like, "I'm not going to give you away the entire game plan." And somebody in the room said, "Yeah, they've kind of seen everything on the film. And he goes, "Well, they haven't seen everything yet." And then looked around the room like that, you know, and I said to him, I said, "Something like that, I think, deserves its own theme music." Right. And he laughed. And it's kind of funny. After this session, he stepped to the podium and I heard him deliver something that from the podium, which was right outside the room where we met at the Dolphins facility in Frankfurt, him having some fun about the narratives that are going to come out of this game, win or lose, for the Miami Dolphins.
There are a bunch of narratives that occur whether you win or you lose. I'll tell you what's going to happen with the Miami Dolphins. They lose. We can't beat good teams. We win, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Let's say, for instance, you know, we were able to beat the Chiefs and had the best game of our year this week. What does that mean? It means we're 7-2. That's all. Does 7 wins get you into the playoffs? Probably not. Does it matter if you climax right now and go, "Zzz"? Yeah, cool regular season win. You know, so it's very important, but at the same time, the biggest thing is you're progressing during the season. So when push comes to shove and it's win or go home, which inevitably you're either trying to make the playoffs. At some point, it's an elimination game, or you're in the playoffs and it's an elimination game. You better be your best then.
And you know, unbeknownst to anyone in that room, Mike McDaniel was just 20 minutes removed when he said that from wiping tears from his eyes and causing all of us in the room to get choked up also. And let me tell you how that came about. That I asked Mike McDaniel in the meeting, what did he see in Tua that perhaps no one else saw, or the previous people who led us all in the media to think that Tua didn't have it anymore, that he saw something different. And he went on a soliloquy to talk about how he watched all the film about Tua and he saw somebody throw 20 different out routes against significant coverage on film And these are the types of throws that he said, make your heart go like this. And he pounded his chest. And he saw somebody that kept on throwing accurate footballs into windows that few players can. And he said that was one of the things that sold him on Tua, that he was an accurate thrower of the football. He was someone that could put the ball in certain windows. And he was somebody who also had absolutely zero fear in doing it. And also had a situation that he was overcoming where a lot of people said that he couldn't. And how his own mother, Mike McDaniel, in his upbringing, kept telling him how special he was, and how a parent telling a child how special he or she is something that is beyond powerful. And the belief that somebody has in them, placed in them by somebody who throws their arms around them, is a power that he knows as a coach he can deliver to every single one of his players, and felt that way about Tua from jump, and said that Tua needed that, and that Tua has thrived amongst the love that he is, the rest of his, he's feeling from his teammates, and also that he had a certain belief in Tua that was unshakable. And I even wrote down what he said, that he had an unshakable faith in Tua, and throwing, you know, love in his direction is something that an only child with no siblings can relate to. And he was referring to himself as that. At which point, Stacey Dales, who was in the room, who's one of our sideline reporters, said, come on, coach, you're going to make me cry in here. And McDaniel talked about how his love for Tua and how it's an important part of coaching. As he said that many coaches feel entitled to the power that they have and instead don't relate to the part about coaching, about bringing the most out of all players in the locker room in the small window of time that they have in their careers. And he takes it very personally that it's his job to bring it out of his players. And we were all just looking at him. And as we were driving back, Stacey Dales is like, in all my years as a professional in the WNBA and most of every years in college, I never had a coach who talked about players or loving coaching players like that. And I would have ran through a wall for him. And he talked as well about how he sent Tyreek Hill into the offseason with ideas on how to become better, fundamentals, and the fundamentals to become better. I asked him what he meant by that. And he said he's talked to Tyreek Hill about how he's the fastest player on the field and how everyone really has to adjust to him because of his speed, and to make sure that his routes needed to be run with certain precision and certain concepts defensively that are being played against him. He needs to expect with certain precision so Tua can be ready for Tyreek and vice versa. And I just sat there and thought to myself that a man who is so self-aware of his own upbringing, he said he was he'd been dreaming of the job of being a coach in the league since he was four, that somebody who has such self-awareness about himself is creating an atmosphere within that Miami Dolphins locker room and offense about self-awareness of everyone else around in a system that's very intricate, from scheme to motions to timing. And it's all working in many ways because of the atmosphere this guy is creating, which is, I think, the issue many people had with Mike McDaniel. It wasn't just, can he scheme? Of course he can scheme. Is he smart? Yes, he's smart. But how will he coach men in the NFL in a professional locker room environment? And he's killing it. He's killing it from this point of view, including working 20-hour Tuesdays to install everything. So every player walking in, as we learned from some of the players here this week, every player walks in on Wednesday and not only knows the game plan, but his specific responsibility on game day. So all they have to do is execute it. It's been done by McDaniel and his staff all day Tuesday. I just sat there. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I just sat to myself. I'm like, this dude's got it. And they are ready to roll, you know, for a long time. And, you know, the rest of the AFC East best bring their P's and Q's when they play them. And I know the Buffalo Bills did. I'm not saying he's invincible, but he's got this thing, you know, in a great direction and all bottled up and uncorked. And he's also a funny dude. Like, he's keeping things light in this locker room. And just having this curtain peeled back for me today with him was really mind-blowing. And, you know, Orlovsky and Jason McCourty were like, that's one of the best production meetings they've ever been in with a head coach. And I just wanted to, you know, bring that to you guys. It really, and wow. One last thing, when we asked McDaniel about why he came to Miami a week and, you know, why he came to Germany with Miami all week and didn't just show up at the end, he said that in ultimate success, you need to run your system remotely. Because in ultimate success, that's what you're going to do Super Bowl week. So if your goal is to make the Super Bowl, you don't want your first reps running your system remotely to be the Super Bowl week. You might as well simulate it in a week like this. And we all looked around. We're like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Yeah. You know, and you can have pretzel bread at the same time. It's pretty cool. Like, the whole thing was awesome. Soup to nuts. That's hanging amazing. With him today.
Wow. That's
you know, that's so cool. And before we get to what's more likely, it kind of fits in perfectly with what we were talking about at the end of last hour before you came on, just the positivity now that Davante Adams says is in the room in Vegas. And don't know if it's going to work long term with Antonio Pierce, and how, you know, in when it comes to modern coaching, and you can tie this into Bobby Knight as well, that there has to be a positive energy. And there has to be a reason to smile and have fun and feel like you're growing while you're at work and still have discipline. That's obviously still important. We'll see what it does for the Raiders or for the Dolphins, that matter.
I mean, and Jalen Ramsey did say to us the day before when we saw him that they just came off the practice field and he challenged him, like, you're not running, you know, you're not going at the proper speed. You're not simulating game speed. Like, let's go. Let's pick it up. Like, so He's kind of a whole bunch of 21st century coaching wrapped into one human being. And obviously then you got Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, all of these stars around the lot coming in from their different parts. I'm so excited to get in the booth. And as you pointed out, just one last thing before we get to what's more likely, is this is going to be the day after the 20th anniversary. So this is the way NFL Network's going to launch its third decade of action with this game from Frankfurt with a lit crowd, and I can't wait.
Amazing. Yeah, it's the game of the year, and it's on NFL Network and NFL Plus for that matter, and it is one truly worth getting up early for, with Dan Orlovsky, with Jason McCourty, with world's greatest human, Stacey Dales, also there.
Oh, and Sarah Walsh.
I forgot Sarah Walsh is going to be there. I actually didn't even know. So beautiful. Sarah Walsh as well. Are we ready for what's more likely?
Yes, sir.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Hit it.
Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
What's up, Christopher?
All right, let's start calm, and then we're going to build our way up, okay?
Yes, sir. What do you have?
You're breaking news. You're in Germany. You're calling Dolphins Chiefs. Who's more likely to have 100 yards and a touchdown, Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill?
I would go with Tyreek Hill on this one. Again, when I spoke to Kelce last night in a Zoom, I'm like, have you spoken to your colleagues in the secondary who have only been there 2 years? There's, as you know, there were a lot of rookies last year, and they're growing and blossoming, and they're terrific on the back end that's married with Chris Jones. I'm like, have you told these guys who are not teammates with Tyreek Hill just how fast Tyreek Hill is? And he laughed, and he, you know, obviously spoke confidently of his teammates, but the underlying message is you can't simulate Tyreek Hill until you see him. And
we good? We lose? Nope.
Rich, what happened?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We lost Rich.
I don't think he liked your question.
I guess not.
So we're going to dial Rich back.
I think he was getting to
a point. I would
say
Tyreek Hill, but I would also say if there was a push possible, Brockman, I think they both get 100?
You think they both?
And a touchdown.
All right.
Can both be an answer?
Well,
the rules are no.
That's not really.
Chris doesn't like that.
That's not really the rules of what's more likely. I'm with Rich.
I say Tyreek Hill. I also think, you know, the chess match, Jalen Ramsey on Travis Kelce would be fascinating as well.
That's another one.
Oh, Rich, you're back.
That's another one.
Bam.
Yeah, I am back. I'm sorry, guys. You know, the again, the Wi-Fi here is not terrific.
I thought you were reaching for another note.
I was basically saying you can't simulate Tyreek Hill's speed.
Right.
And then, you know, Ramsey was a little coy when we asked him point blank, are you going to be one-on-one with Travis Kelce?
Oh.
But we'll see. That's all I'm saying is that if you're asking me what's more likely, I mean, the guy's got 1,000 yards in 8 games. I'll go with him for 100.
Yeah. Good call on that. Hey, on the undercard of the games of the week, Seahawks-Ravens. Going to be awesome. Who's more likely to make the conference final, Seahawks or Ravens?
I'll go Ravens on that. Again, the Ravens are, and the Chiefs don't even play each other. You know, the conference final four. I hear you. I would take the Ravens on that front. I don't know. You've got the Lions, you got the Cowboys, you got the Eagles. I don't believe the 49ers are out of this mix as well. So right now I would take the Ravens over the Seahawks on that
Geno
front.
Smith, I get secretly struggling here.
Dude, I'm just saying the defense in Seattle is balling out and they have been great. And I know that Geno again has been a little bit more up and down than his comeback player of the year season. But the Ravens, everyone keeps sleeping on it because you only have, what, like 3 fantasy players from them? So I dig them. That's where I would go.
All right, Rich, the more likely rookie quarterback to get a home win this week, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young? Can he make it 2 in a row?
C.J. Stroud, Houston versus Tampa. That's going to be a tough one for Stroud. Young is taking on the Colts, and that may be one of those young, you know, teams that are going to win one for Coach, who got, as you know, fired midseason by the team coming in. So I'll go with Bryce Young on that front. And we'll see. C.J. Stroud's going to have a rough one against opponent in their house. So, I'll go Bryce Young more likely on that front.
Rich, the 4-3 team you have more faith in to make a playoff run, Browns or Jets?
You want to chime in, Tommy DeVito?
No, I had no idea this one was coming.
Oh, that's why you did it.
No, actually, I didn't. That's why he did it, though. Yes, clearly.
I have more confidence in, oh my God.
Deshaun Watson back this week.
I know.
In case you hadn't heard that.
I'll take the Jets. You want to take the Browns? You want to push back, Andrew, on that?
I don't have a good answer. I think it is a push. I think if either get in, they're likely the 7. Do we agree on that?
I think so. Yeah. Although, I mean, if the Jets win this one, they're 5-3, and the Browns are, they'd be 5-3, too.
This is a must win for the Browns because it's the Cardinals and likely Clayton Toon, maybe Kyler, but they get the Ravens and the Steelers next, so they need this one this week.
How about this one? Who's a better returning quarterback, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers? So that's why I'll go with the Jets and what's more likely.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers coming back, even if immobile, even if he has to sit in like a Dave Grohl throne there, right, 7 yards deep in the pocket.
Dave Grohl throne. Write it down, Chris. That's a good one.
Dave Grohl throne is really good. All right.
Dave Grohl throne is a great fantasy name. Write that one down.
Another monster game. There's 4 so good games this week. Cowboys, Eagles, receiver to go for 125 plus and a touchdown.
AJ Brown. I don't even care what the other one is.
AJ Brown or CD Lamb.
I don't even care.
AJ doesn't even week.
But CD Lamb was amazing last week.
I don't even care. No, AJ Brown. End of story. Come on now, man. Let's go.
AJ Brown's at a 6 straight
weeks.
Yeah,
but can he do it 7? I mean, come on.
Oh, man, right now, 125. Phillies at home. Here we go. That's what it is. Look at that guy in the old throwbacks looking like Harold Carmichael. Come
Those
on
might
now.
Be the greatest
that
jerseys of all time.
By the way, every single jersey that was different over the past week needs to be kept, except the Lions. I don't want to see that one again. But everything
but did
else,
you like
the Seahawks,
the
Oilers.
Helmet? I like the Lions' helmet.
No, it looked like something out of Any Given Sunday.
I thought it was cool and different. Line. I'm with you on the gray. Right. The gray was a little too much head to toe, but I thought the helmet was cool. I think Mina Kimes nailed it. It looked like an espresso pod, specifically the Audacio pod.
Okay,
if you have a Virtuo at home, maybe one coffee. I thought it was a great helmet.
Hey, Chris, just one thing to add to that Rich's answer. I don't know if you guys are aware, the Dallas Cowboys have not allowed a running back or a receiver to go over 100 yards in any game this season.
All right.
Just look at there. All right,
go. The varsity chimes in. The varsity chimes in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what else you got,
headache,
Chris?
Rich, but your answer and your dismissal of CD kind of threw me back into the segment. Hey, now I'm going to go back and rub
my temples. Migraine healer. Rich, the migraine healer.
Got laying hands from 3,000 miles away.
My takes are so hot, they heal migraines.
Rich, new starting quarterback to get a win this week, Aiden O'Connell or Taylor Heineke?
Oh, I'll go Aiden O'Connell, baby. I think Antonio Pierce is going to come out the gate like Jeff Saturday. Here we go.
Wow.
Don't forget he won
a circle for the Raider fans there.
Yeah, baby. No, did you hear Devontae Adams says he'll run through a wall for that guy?
Yeah.
And just the fact that they're like, you know what? It's Aiden O'Connell. Jimmy, sit down. You know, it's Aiden O'Connell. I like it. Although, as you know, we keep saying Atlanta should put Heineke in there to hit him with the Heineke. I'm just going to go with Aiden O'Connell. I think there's the power of Antonio Pierce that we're going to see. Crazier things have happened, and the Raiders know it because Jeff Saturday beat the Raiders. That's the team that beat that got beat by Jeff Saturday. So I'll go with Aiden O'Connell.
Can I throw in one note on that Viking Falcon game that hit me last night and hadn't hit me previously? You realize that's a playoff game? I mean, the playoffs don't start today, but that's the 7 seed at the 4 seed in the NFC. Yeah. Minnesota Jaren at Hall. Atlanta is the 7 seed at the 4 seed right now in the NFC.
All right, all due respect to Bills, Bengals, which matchup is more likely to be their conference championship game? Dolphins, Chiefs, or Cowboys, Eagles?
The one I'm doing. Yeah, the one I'm doing. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to see a conference championship game be a division game. That's rare. I mean, what, we saw one just a couple years ago with the Rams and the 49ers, right?
Yep.
But that's the rarity. I'll take Dolphins and the Chiefs, even though the Ravens, you know, there's so many different ways to hop in here. But honestly, Dolphins, Chiefs, it's everybody is so damn loaded on both sides of the ball. Man, I can't wait to call this thing Sunday.
Can't wait to get up early and watch.
I could do it 60 seconds from now if I could.
All right, Mitch, last one. Not sure if the Wemby highlights made their way to Germany last night.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Hell, it did.
Oh, baby. All right. More likely, who's more likely to score more points on Sunday? The Commanders and Patriots combined or Victor Wembanyama?
Oh, boy. What's the over-under on that game?
Who's Wemby playing Sunday?
All right. I don't know. Who cares? Does it matter? No, it's Wemby.
I think it matters.
All right. Hold on a second. Just think about it for a second while I get this.
Over under on Patriots.
Spurs. Yeah. Okay. Spurs are home for Raptors on Sunday. And the
Chris Boucher's coming to town.
And the total for the Patriots and Commanders is 40. Hammer the under, people.
40 and a half.
It's a Jakob Poeltl revenge game. Words I've never said.
Have been Poeltl. Said.
Jakob Poeltl revenge game. Write that down. I'm going to take Commanders in the Patriots.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah, baby. Although, I got to tell you, that was the first thing when we took our ride over to see Mike McDaniel today. That's what we were all talking about, where Wemby highlights. Orlovsky was talking about it.
They're incredible.
Stacey Dales is talking about it. We're all talking about it. And I kept saying, you know, we're seeing Belichick next week. He's just like, can I get Caleb Williams for my career ender? Just the same way that Pop got Wemby. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that would be a nice game changer. I'll go Bill. And even though Bill, I think, is going to have a good defensive plan for the kid in Sam Howell. I'll do that. Two football teams should be able to outscore the rookie in Wemby.
Well, he outscored the Titans and Steelers last night.
He sure did.
All right, Rich.
What's more likely?
Good job, buddy. Good job.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I can't wait.
We can't wait either.
I look forward to chatting about this with you guys Monday.
Looking forward to it.
Have a great time, pal.
9:30 Eastern Time, one day after NFL Network's 20th anniversary, which is tomorrow.
That's right.
The game of the year, hands down. The Chiefs, the Dolphins. Frankfurt with Rich, with Jason McCourty, with Dan Orlovsky, Stacey Dales, and the great Sarah Walsh as well on the sideline. Rich, as always, have a great call. All right. Be safe. Guten Nacht. Rich Eisen, everybody, live
Boom.
From Germany. Couple of those, by the way, were tough ones. They were like, I like both. I like, can I take the push? You're not allowed to
not
take
part
the push.
Not part of the game. Not part of the game.
You're good at your job.
Thanks, buddy.
Coming up, a fun fact about every game this weekend. It's the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks. Boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome, and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Rich Eisen here. Let's talk about DoorDash because we talk about it in our household all the time. Susie and I always go to DoorDash whenever we need some terrific food from our favorite restaurants with timely, responsible, professional drivers delivering the food right to our house in a timely fashion. We use DoorDash. And now DoorDash is made even better with Dash Pass. Dash Pass is the one membership you need to get the most out of DoorDash in everyday life because Dash Pass members get $0 delivery fees and up to 10% off eligible DoorDash orders, including groceries, drinks, personal care items, and more. Dash Pass makes delivery even more worth it, helping members save more than $35 per month on average. So put a little joy back into your schedule. We are in our house. We've signed up for Dash Pass. You should do so today and use code RICHEISEN and get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass. Subject to change, terms apply. That's 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass with code RICHEISEN. Subject to change, terms apply. Sign up for more. Become a Dash Pass member today.
I have a few questions about Cincinnati that you might have to know if it's true or false. You're from Athens, right?
I am, yeah.
It's a three-hour drive from Cincinnati, right?
Two and a half.
Oh, with a lead foot.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Okay. I've got four aspects of Cincinnati, and I want to know if you're already ready to figure out about this city. I'm just picking that city out of the blue.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false, Cincinnati, true or false with Joe Burrow, everybody. True or false, it's the birthplace of Academy Award-winning director Steven Spielberg.
False.
Is that true or false?
I have no idea.
It is true.
Okay. I didn't know that one.
All right, that's number one. Play-Doh was invented in Cincinnati, true or false?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say all these that you're saying are true.
Okay, it is true. Now, just hold on a second. Just because you can read a defense doesn't mean that you can read me right now, okay? This pre-snap. Cincinnati is the site of the United States' biggest celebration of Oktoberfest.
That's true.
Okay, you see, you knew that right then and there.
I know about the parties, yeah.
You know about...
Yeah.
Have you been to an Oktoberfest?
I have not, no.
Okay. Are you going to have to talk about it with your team first?
We'll have to talk about
it. Okay, talk about it with your team. And the number one radio station in Cincinnati is WKRP.
That one... I have no idea.
Before his time,
it's
Rich.
False. There's a famous TV show called WKRP in Cincinnati that is way before your time. Have you never heard of it at all? Gosh darn it.
I'm older than most college football players, but I'm not that old.
I mean, we've heard you're older than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he was in my recruiting class. Yeah.
Okay.
Couple months, I think.
And if you had one choice of a meal, would you pick crawfish or spaghetti with chili?
Crawfish.
Really?
I don't like all the Cincinnati cuisine as far as all that stuff.
Not yet. Greater size cream.
I might learn to like it, but we'll see.
Okay, very good.
That's a great one from a before the draft, right?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Miami.
And I'm with you, Joe, on the what Cincinnati calls chili, which is just soggy spaghetti and bad meat sauce.
Yeah, not good.
Gosh. I'm with you, Joe. I'm not down on the Cincinnati cuisine. I've been to there I think each of the last three seasons. I've come to like Cincinnati. Truly. I mean that. And I found some great restaurants in Cincinnati. One great Italian restaurant, one great Spanish restaurant. There's all kinds of good food in Cincinnati. Great barbecue place as well. Went to for lunch and over the Rhine. But the chili stuff, nah, garbage. Pure garbage. Hi, everybody. It's Andrew sitting
in
for Rich.
It's a positive Friday.
I just praise Cincinnati up and down. I think the whole riverfront thing there that they have, I get up there and run every morning when I'm in town there, the two ballparks and the restaurants and everything. Seriously, I've come to really like Cincinnati. I just can't eat the chili. That I'm sticking with. Is that negative? We all have our food preferences. Don't you look at me and tell me that's negative. Name a food you don't like.
Read the card.
Name a food you don't like.
I don't drink coffee.
Okay. I don't get that.
Never had it.
Okay. Have you tried it?
No.
Why?
Stunts your growth.
Clearly.
I'm going to be Wimby someday.
But just so you know, I didn't drink coffee until I was 30 years old. True story. So it wasn't coffee that stunted my growth. I was locked in at this height. My baseball card was not changing when I had my first cup of coffee. I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk, full of positivity today, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop. Bye. I figured we would do something different today, a fun fact, if you will, from every NFL game. We're going to go with the early games to start our fun fact segment. I haven't talked this over with Jason or anyone else. What kind of music would we go for the fun fact segment here? I don't know if we want to go NFL films.
Yeah, films music is always better.
We're going okay. With some 50s rock.
50s rock, because nothing says fun facts week 9, the first Sunday in November, as Rich likes to say, in bulk. Okay, we're going with the Evan Carter classic rock ish all right, fun fact from the Dolphins and the Chiefs, as I like to call it, our weekly game of the year, a game of the year of the week, but we mean it this time. The Dolphins, as Rich talked about, haven't beaten a good team. Do you know the Dolphins have lost 5 straight games against teams with a winning record? Okay, big deal. Well, it is a big deal because the only two teams with longer streaks right now than the Dolphins, who have lost 5 straight games against teams with winning records, are the New York Giants with 6 and the Chicago Bears with 15. So if you tell me that the Dolphins losing to good teams isn't a big deal, I might say you're right. Until I look at the numbers and tell you that we're talking about the Giants and the Bears in comparison to where the Dolphins stand with losing to good teams. Do we turn the music up between? How do we do this? We're just filling this out.
It just stays as is.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't give Jay too many things to
okay.
do.
Okay. Rams and the Packers. Rams are 3-5. Packers are 2-5. What's so funny?
Nothing.
Matthew Stafford is questionable.
Game time decision.
Not going to practice today. Sean McVay says game time decision. Game time. He also says that not practicing today was part of the plan the whole way.
Okay.
And when asked today, how is his thumb? Can Stafford grip a football right now? Sean punted, if you will, and said, day by day, we're not going to go there. Well, he didn't say we're not going to go there. He just wouldn't answer the question. Did you know this is the 4th straight year that the Rams have to play a game at Lambeau Field if you include the postseason? Do you know this is the 5th time in Cooper Kupp's career, and he was drafted in 2017, if you include the preseason and the postseason, that the Rams have played a game at Lambeau Field?
Did you know that the Rams had one specific request, as I said on my foot, one specific request to the schedule makers? Teams can make requests all the time. Like, for example, we have a marathon week 8 runs by our stadium. We don't want to be home week 8 for traffic purposes, right? Or maybe it's a big holiday in our town. We don't want a game at home that weekend. The Rams, one request to the NFL this year, we don't want to have to go to Lambeau in November or December or January. Like, we've gone there every year. This is the fourth straight year we've got to go. Can you please make the game in September or October? That's our. I had one request. I only wanted one thing.
Yeah, November 5th isn't that bad.
It's not in September or October.
It's not terrible.
Okay. That's your one fun fact about that game. Fourth straight year and the Rams had one request. The Buccaneers and the Texans, 3-4 against 3-4. Here's your fun fact. Do you know that the Buccaneers have never won a game in Houston?
Even the Oilers?
They have against the Texans.
Okay.
The Buccaneers have never won a game in Houston against the Texans. They are 0-6. And here's another fun fact. C.J. Stroud has the lowest interception percentage of any rookie with 200 attempts in NFL history. One pick.
He's good.
In 237 attempts. Your fun fact about the Bears and the Saints. It's not the fact that the Bears have not won at the Superdome since 91 and that their most recent win in New Orleans was at LSU because it was in the aftermath of Katrina. But the fun fact about this one is that the Saints are the only team in the NFL, as we enter week 9, to have played only one game against a team that currently has a winning record. One game. You want to talk about easy schedule. That one game was the Jaguars, and they lost. The Saints will not play another team that currently has a winning record until week 13. I feel like this segment's falling flat.
No, it's not. You're taking too many pauses. Just keep going. Crank them out.
Okay. Vikings and the Falcons. Your fun fact, I already told you, this is a playoff game. 7-4. Playoffs ended today or began today. Yeah.
That's wild.
Hard to believe.
That's wild.
The Vikings and the Falcons, both at 4-4. This wouldn't be a wild card weekend matchup, but they would both be in. This is the 7 seed at the 4 seed. Okay. Seahawks and the Ravens, the 3 seed at the 4 seed. Two different conferences, however. The Ravens have allowed a league-low 15 points a game, the best scoring defense in the NFL. Did you know that the Ravens have not had the number one defense in football since 2006 when it comes to scoring defense?
Ooh.
For all the years we give the Ravens, hey, amazing defense.
Right.
They haven't had the best scoring defense in the NFL since 2006. The Cardinals and the Browns, 1-7 against 4-3. The Browns have allowed teams to score in only 23.9% of their drives this year. That is the best in the NFL. And then the Washington Commanders and the New England Patriots, will they score more than Wemby on Sunday? I don't know, but I do know that Sam Howell's 41 sacks. Yeah, we know it's most in the NFL. It's great, but he was only sacked once last week. This total a week ago was 40. Now it is 41, but he is on pace for 87 sacks.
Is that a lot?
Ask David Carr. He's on line one. He holds the record. 76.
Shatter. He's going to shatter.
He's going to shatter.
Shatter.
If he is
record.
Not shattered in the process.
He's been tough, man.
He's been tough. We wish you well.
He's been tough.
Sam Howell. And we wish you well as well if you're looking for tickets. And for those, we recommend the Game Time app.
Yeah, we do.
Have you found out? Have you figured it out? The Game Time is your place to go. Download it. Download the Game Time app, whether it's a game, whether it's a show, whether it's the theater, a concert, whatever you want to go see. Browse through it. You can see how easy it is when you download the Game Time app. And better yet, we have a discount for you. It is a $20 off discount off that first purchase when you enter the promo code RICH. It's R-I-C-H. R-I-C-H. His name is on the show. His name is your promo code. Download the Game Time app right now. Create an account. You have to do that first. And then hit the promo code RICH, R-I-C-H, and you get that $20 off. Obviously, restrictions apply. You want all the rules and all the terms, go to GameTime.co for those. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets guaranteed. Coming up,
fun facts about the late games. And maybe we'll actually have fun. Because I sense you guys are not.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
you. You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there, and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it, and you could check in with this app. And other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it.
Just to get the whole story before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
A subscription per month.
Oh, people are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap.
If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a month for that.
But in theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check
in? You're dead. Like, who cares?
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not dead.
The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to him on the phone. You don't have to call him. And if it's a kid, you know the kid.
Why, if you're worried your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say, Mike. People don't call their mother and father and live 2,500 miles away
Mom,
every day.
I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
You want to know the exact moment your mother
died. You can check in. You know that they've actually. Exactly.
Hey, it's been a fun day today sitting in. You get me coming up on Monday as well. Week 9 is going to be awesome. Like, I can't emphasize enough how cool it is that NFL Network has the Chiefs and the Dolphins coming up on Sunday and really the entire schedule. There's a great game in every window with the 9:30 a.m. Eastern window opening up and then throughout the day and into Monday. Like, it is going to be a great week. I mentioned a Tom Brady thing earlier. I didn't pay that one off yet. So Brady had Josh Allen on his Jim Gray, Sirius XM, whatever it's on.
Let's go!
Without the F in the middle. And Josh Allen, you know, they had pictures and how much of a Brady fan he was as a kid, and they talked about all this. And anyway, they talked about the dangers of running the football and putting your body at risk. And Tom said that he has told Josh, hey, you got to be careful, right? Like, don't throw your body on the line every time you scramble or don't maybe be such a big part of the run game. And it was a good quarterback conversation. And Josh took the angle, well, hey, listen, football's a game where we're all going to get hurt. Like, everyone's going to get hurt at one point. And I'm just as likely to get hurt in the pocket as I am running, so I don't care. And Brady said, sure, but I'll give you an example. You know, there was a game against the Bills in 2021 where we ran a sneak and Matt Milano, your teammate, linebacker for the Bills, hit my shoulder and I separated my right shoulder. Right? We popped it back in. I kept going, whatever. Well, of course now, the NFL injury report police jump and note that Tom Brady wasn't listed on the injury report in the subsequent weeks. Well, Brady said that it bothered him the rest of the year. Said it took 8-9 weeks for him to truly get back to where he wanted to be. He wasn't on the injury report the rest of the week.
Ooh.
Cheaters. Listen, I firmly do believe the injury report rules are there for a reason. Like, yes, for not only, and they were put in years ago, but for gambling purposes, right?
Right.
Like, let's make sure the inside information isn't inside, right? If someone's not going to play, we got to tell the public.
Exactly.
Right. And they're there and they should be followed. And 9 times out of 10, they are followed. People think this is going to be a scandal. It is not, because I would argue if he's not limited in practice and he plays every game, I don't need to tell you everything that hurts. Now, if it affects my practice participation, then yes. But if I make 20 throws instead of 30 throws, am I limited, or am I a 41-year-old, 43-year-old quarterback, whatever it was, where I'm just limiting the number of throws? Everybody week 9 has something that hurts. Everybody week 2 has something that hurts, honestly. But if it doesn't truly affect your day-to-day life, doesn't need to be on the injury report. And if it doesn't affect the way the game is played or called, does it have to be on the injury report? Like, there are some that suggested that 2 weeks ago, Arthur Smith, and I'm not kidding, on Saturday evening, should have called Todd Bowles and told him Bijan Robinson isn't feeling well. He might not get 20 carries tomorrow. And I laugh in your general direction if you actually believe that. Now, what could have happened is they could have added him to the injury report with an illness and downgraded him to questionable.
Right.
But he suited up the next day. Like, you're really angry that he only had a handful of touches, I think one, as opposed to 20. Fantasy people might have wanted to know, sure. But maybe they wanted him to play. He did dress. He suited up, guys. He just didn't play that much. Anyway, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But meanwhile, it is notable that Justin Fields is on the practice field, singular, today. He's officially doubtful, as opposed to being ruled out. Tyson Bagent's going to play, but maybe it's trending in the right direction to week 10, maybe, for Justin Fields. He's out there throwing a little bit today as he tries to grip the football. And one last football note, this thing is going to get much bigger as we get towards tomorrow and Colorado taking on Oregon State. There's a report out there today that the OC for Colorado, Sean Lewis, who's the former head coach at Kent State, he gave up a head coaching job to be the OC at Colorado. And early in the season when Colorado was winning, he was getting all the flowers. There's a report that Pat Shurmur, the former NFL head coach, who's a consultant for Deion, is going to call plays tomorrow. Colorado's offense is 39. Their defense is like 120.
Yeah, what are we doing?
In America. This one bears watching. Like, really bears watching. Because there's also some reports out of Colorado saying Pat Shurmur's had more input this week, but he's not going to be calling plays. I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, this has been fun today. Gentlemen, thank you, all of you.
Attaboy, Andrew.
Thank you, Chris.
See you Monday.
And Jason.
Can't
and
wait.
TJ and Hoskins and Bowie and Erica and Liz and Sarah. And I'm happy. I'm positive. I give thanks. Have a great football weekend. See y'all Monday, everybody.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.